Tonight, I want you to open up your heart. And I just want you to speak to God. If you can, please rise on your feet and place a demand on this anointing tonight. You place a demand on this grace. What do you need from the Lord? He has sent a man. And when a man shows up, the word shows up. No man has business standing before God's people if not that God gives him a word. Speak to the Lord and place a demand. Lord, these are my desires. Lord, these are my desires. I hope you are really praying. I place a demand on the anointing tonight. I place a demand on your spirit. I receive the apostle that you have sent to us tonight. I believe in this apostle. I receive and I believe. Let the Lord hear your prayers. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Tonight, we are privileged to have God's servant with us. And this house, we do not take it lightly. He could be anywhere else, but he chose to be with us. God put our love in his heart, and that's why he can always make our time to be with us every time we desire him to come. Tonight, on the internet, everybody on ground, at the overflow, I want you to receive this apostle with the whole of your heart. Believe that God sent him to you, and you will receive all that God has put on his inside. Ladies and gentlemen, if your hands are not tired, give him the glory to the Lord. Let's receive the ministry of the President of Eternity, that was, and God's servant at Koinonia, Apostle Joshua Neymar Selman.
Thank you. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. I'll be charging us briefly on the topic, the knowledge of the holy. The knowledge of the holy. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy," the newer versions will say, "the Holy One, is understanding." Very profound scripture. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then it says, "The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding," or the foundation of understanding. Hallelujah. Two more scriptures. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, a popular scripture. It says, "But the people," but B part says, "but the people." So this is a matter that concerns people. "But the people that do know their God," it says, "they shall be strong and shall do exploits." The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Not talk exploits, not wish exploits, not explain exploits. Do exploits. Hallelujah. A final scripture before I begin to teach is found in Revelation chapter 4. This is a very profound scripture, because we are in this scripture given an opportunity to see the worship as it happens in heaven. John was caught up in the Isle of Patmos on account of the testimony and the witness of Jesus Christ, and among the many encounters that happened there, they were in phases. The first phase culminated to his encounter, the lampstand, and then the letters to the seven churches in the then Asia Minor. That was a prophetic representation of the Catholic, the universal church. And then by the time we get to verse chapter 4, he's ushered into the throne room. And now he has an opportunity to view firsthand worship as it happens. And he's given us a picture by the insight of the Spirit on how worship happens within the throne room. Hallelujah. Let's begin our reading for sake of time from verse 5. Verse 5. It says, "And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, voices." It says, "seven lambs." Is that New King James? Can I have KJV? I'm comfortable with that, except otherwise. Thank you. It says, "There were seven lambs of fire burning before the throne." Please pay attention. "Which were the seven spirits of God." Verse 6. It says, "And before the throne, there was a sea of glass unto a crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." Next verse. It says, "And the first of the beasts was as a lion. The second was as a calf. Third as a man. The fourth as a flying eagle." Verse 8. "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes. And they rest not night and day, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Verse 9. "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks." Now, John brings in a very interesting description. We know that they were shouting, "Holy, holy, holy," but now he's channeling our imagination to a personality. He says, "This thanks, this glory, this honor is unto him," not them, "unto him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." Two more verses, verse 10. "And the 24 elders fell down before him again." What sort of a name is that? What sort of a description is that? It simply tells us the worship is unto him, not him that is standing, not him that is begging, him that sits or sat upon the throne. "And they worship him that liveth forever and ever. They cast their crowns before him." And then final verse 11, saying, "Thou art worthy, They are still speaking about him that sat upon the throne. O Lord, to receive glory and honor, power, for thou hast created. He's telling you an information about him that sits on the throne now. That is not just sitting there. There is a track record. And he's giving us a picture that this man who sat upon the throne created all things for his pleasure. They are and were created. Are we learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. The foundation of the believer's confidence in the kingdom is primarily based on the depth of your encounter of this personality the Bible calls him that sits or sat upon the throne. The difference between any two believers may not necessarily be the amount of scripture they have read, may not even be the amount of church activities they are engaged in. Usually, it is the depth of their encounter and their comprehension of God in all his multifaceted dimensions. The Bible tells us that there are implications to encountering God, that no man encounters God and remains the same. In fact, no man encounters a spirit and remains the same. Is the law of encounters that when you encounter a spirit, there will be a deposit. Something will leave you from that spirit that has an implication upon your life, whether for good or for bad. The madman in Gadara was a classic example of a man who had encountered spirits. He had become such a host to these spirits, a legion lived within him. And he began to live out the personality of those spirits, hiding himself in caves and lacerating himself because the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So those spirits began to live out the character of the devil through that man. Are we together? And so it's important for us to know that our Christian experience depends on the degree to which we know God. And I submit to you that many believers want to know God. Many believers think they know God. Many believers hope they find God. But and then for many, they just believe that God is so mighty, he's mysterious, there is no possibility of knowing him. So that becomes a comfort to their laxity to press into the things of God, because they believe that God is eternal and that is right. How can an ordinary mortal man attempt to learn God who is eternal? But the Bible does not leave us in the dark as to the fact that this mysterious eternal God seeks to be known. Are you following me now? That God, as mighty, as eternal, as vast, as endless as he is, he desires that a people, his people, get to know him, and that he programmed the strength of the people to depend on their knowledge of him. Listen, he programmed the strength of the people to depend on their knowledge of him. That means when you find a people strong in spirit, when you find a people powerful, when you find a people who can do much for God within their generation and their time, it is directly traced to their depth of the knowledge of God. Jesus was praying in John chapter 17 and verse 3, and he said, "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent." He said, "This is life eternal, that they may know you." It's a journey, a progressive journey of knowing you. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. And so God wants to be known. He wants to be accurately known. There are implications to knowing God. There is a protocol to learning God such that it translates to power in the life of the believer. So the first thing I want to establish tonight is that God, as mighty, majestic, mysterious as he is, desires to be known. That means in his intelligence, he has created a formula, a pathway that can help anyone to know him. As mighty and as great as God is, he wants to be known. Number two, you are not given the liberty to learn God using your formula. This is the second thing you need to understand, that in your pressing into God, the believer is not given the privilege of creativity to choose how to know God. Creativity happens when you begin to dominate within the cosmos, but the business of encounters is based on a pathway that is already predefined. Are you understanding me now? That means if you attempt to learn God through a route that is your own invention, you will end up with casualties in the spirit. You will encounter familiar spirits. There will be a side effect, even though your desire is sincere. So it is possible for desire to lead a man to pain. It is impossible for passion to lead a man to pain, because if for any reason you attempt to choose your route to knowing God, the Bible is full of many people who attempted to learn God through a route that was not by his recommendation. An example was the scribes and the Sadducees, the Pharisees. They were men who were learned, they were intelligent, they wanted to know God. In fact, they thought they knew God. Are we together? And when Jesus showed up, Jesus exposed their ignorance and the gaps in their knowledge. They became frustrated because they had held a belief. There were so many things they believed about God. There were so many things they thought God did and God was. But when Jesus appeared, he began to correct them with every sermon, to correct them with every appearance. Are you following me still? To a point that they became frustrated. They said, listen, this man, if we keep giving this man the privilege of an amplified voice, eventually he will expose the fact that we do not know God. Every one of his sermons was judgment over them, because it tamed their pride. They came with an understanding that they knew God. But one of them became very humble at a point. His name is Nicodemus. His admission was what led to what you call John 3:16. He came to Jesus by night. He said, listen, there's no point arguing this. It is clear we do not know God. And he comes to Jesus by night and says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except. There are things that cannot happen except God be with him. And Jesus looks at him and says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except he be born again. And then a discussion begins, leads to John 3:16. Are we together now? Popular scripture that we have. But we forget that that was a discussion between Jesus, the Word, and one man who was tired of routing his own path to knowing God. And he came to Jesus to ask a very sincere question. Hallelujah. So you are not given the privilege to learn God on your terms. And this is where the futility of religion comes. Just because you are dissipating spiritual energy does not translate to progress. And it is the reason why many believers can become frustrated after many years of routing through several pathways. You return back to the same place, and you can use your pain to create a theology that God cannot be found. Are we together now? You will say, I tried it, I went for crusades, I prayed, I fasted, I did everything I knew to do. Look, leave this God thing. We've explored it. I've read my Bible to cover to cover. You know, most of the people that end up persecuting the faith were people who tried learning God, but by a formula that was not his recommendation. Their pain makes them to fight anything zeal, anything passion, because it reminds them somehow they know he can be found. So Job said, there is a path. There is a path. Are we together now? Yes. A virgin path in the spirit, that even the whelps of the lions have not gotten there. The eyes of the vulture has not gotten there. It's not a path you choose to walk in. You are led there. The Bible says, blessed is the man who God causes to approach him. Is somebody learning now? So God can be known. However, the first law of encounter is submission. You must believe that within your power and by your intelligence, you do not sustain the ability to know God. The quicker you give up on your strength, the more authentic your encounter becomes. For most people, they will wrestle like Jacob for years, exploring their intelligence until you see the futility of it. Then hopefully with time, you come to a place where you have to admit that I don't know God. It is my prayer for someone here that in the name of Jesus, this year will begin for you an authentic journey. Not just a journey to know church or a man of God, as important as that is, but that with boldness you can say, I know whom I have believed. It is not just that I place faith in a mystical figure that I think sits in heaven somewhere. There are certain things you will never be able to do until you know God. Audacity is a product of the knowledge of God. Genuine Bible faith. Are we together? Exploits in the kingdom. There are instructions you cannot obey, not because you are a rebel. The strength to obey comes from an encounter. And so many believers are not able to do much for the kingdom. The reason is because they know about God, they've heard about God, they preach about God, they read books about God. Job said, I have heard of you with the hearing of the ear. It says, but now my eye seeth thee. I have heard of thee. You can doubt what you hear, but you don't doubt what you see. There are times someone can call you, and maybe because the network is not clear, you can say, who is this? And the person even feels embarrassed. You mean you don't know me, and you say, I'm sorry, the network was not clear. But you don't doubt vision. The things that you see. Paul said, the things that we have seen, the things that we have heard, the things that our hands have handled, even of the word of life, that this is what we teach. Is someone learning? An encounter will affect the things you say. There is an energy, a transformative power that emanates from encounters. And I'm hoping in the name of Jesus that within the few minutes we have to spend, that like this river that has been stirred, at least one person, not many perhaps, but at least one person can dive into this river. This river that leads you to a path in the spirit that only leaves you a powerful believer, a path in the spirit that leaves you a witness indeed. You believe that? Say amen. So God wants to be known. God desires to be known, but the believer is not given the liberty to learn God the way he wants to. Every attempt to learn God by a formula out of his recommendation led to error, led to all kinds of things. The various religions we have in the world today represent the futility of men. Their attempts to learn this God, they know by the witness of the Spirit that God wants to be known. But the challenge is that many are not patient and are not humble to allow the Spirit of grace route them through the path that leads to life. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So God desires to be known. And very straight up, let me go into my point of emphasis tonight. The greatest revelation of God, the greatest revelation of God to man as we know now, comes from the revelation of his nature and his character. Please write that down. In learning God, the greatest way you know God is to learn him through his character and through his nature. That is not the only way to know God, but it is the greatest way given to man by the Spirit to know God. Classically speaking, from a theological standpoint, there are three ways of learning God. Number one is to learn him through the knowledge of his character and his nature. Number two, we learn God by studying his ways. Number three, we learn God by studying his power. These are the three biblical channels for learning God holistically. But of the three, the greatest and the deepest, are we together? Is to learn God by studying his nature and studying his character. Do not forget this. For every one of these dimensions, there is an effect. There is something about God you will learn when you study his power. There is something about God you will learn when you study his ways. There is something about God you learn when you study his nature. Are we together? The nature of God transmutes that same nature to be at work in your life. The ways of God translates to wisdom in your own life. Are we together? The power of God causes you by the Spirit to be able to do the works of God. So in learning God, there is a theology, there is an intelligence. The greatest of them, and that will be my emphasis tonight, is to learn God by exploring his ways. exploring his nature and his character. Say nature. One more time, say nature. And say character. Now, let me use a gentleman for an example. Can I use you? Come. Just follow this way and come up, please. Now, what's your name? Okay, Bemi. Can I say Bemi? Yes. Is that fine? Alright, so this gentleman right here, assuming I want to describe him to someone, are we together? I dropped, say, 10,000 naira with him for you. Does that sound like a good example? I dropped 10,000 naira with him for who? For you. But now you don't know him, but I want you to meet him because there are benefits to meeting him. Your benefit is connected to meeting him. Follow my illustration. Are we together now? The easiest way to make you identify this man, are we together? Assuming everyone were wearing the same robe. So you cannot really use the cloth now. Assuming everyone were wearing the same robe. You get me? The only way is to find a description in this man that is connected to his character and nature. Are we together? I will tell you, for instance, as soon as you step in, you will see a bearded gentleman. He usually would give you a wide smile. Take note of that smile. Very wide smile. And he's usually a polite person. What am I doing? I am connecting you to the knowledge of this person by describing a distinctive character. So as soon as you enter that room, in the midst of many people who look like him, your gaze is fixed on a description. You came in with an understanding. Are we together now? You are not confused by the many people. You are looking for one. This is what John was looking for. When he got to the throne room, there were many things that could attract him, but his attention was on the epicenter there, and he said, I finally found him, the one who sits on the throne. There was something I saw that no elder had. There was something I saw that no angel had. There was something I saw that not even the beauty of heaven would compare with. And he said, the one who sits upon the throne. Back to my example now. So finally, you look at this gentleman, and without prophesying or having a word of knowledge, you can come sometimes with accuracy and say, Bemi. And he said, yes, sir. You see that happen when you are trying to bring someone from an airport, those of you who are protocol people. So he's highlighting from the plane. And sometimes you use the name, but sometimes they tell you, you just watch this. Speak a particular language or behave certain, or most likely that woman will be dressed this way and she will smile, or she will frown, or he's looking serious. They say he's a big guy. They are giving you a description. And as soon as they highlight from the aircraft, without prophesying and without any spirit advantage, you can literally look at the person and say, you are the one. And you just connect. This is one of the ways we know God. If you do not have a thorough understanding of the nature and the character of God, are we together? As you begin to press in the place of prayer, as you begin to press in the spirit, you are going to encounter many beings that look like God. But if you do not know what distinguishes God, you will submit to an influence sincerely. And after many years, you will find out it was not the God of the Bible you met. Are we learning? This thing you see was one of the corrections that Jesus came to make. Now, I don't want to keep us here all through the night, but there are three major reasons why Jesus came to the earth. You may want to take note of that. Number one, the first reason why Jesus came to the earth, listen carefully, was to become a correction, a marking script, a correction to our understanding about God. Because until Jesus came, we had to use the lens of prophets and priests to learn God. And the Bible tells us clearly that we see in part. So many of them, as sincere as they were, there was a mix. Are we together? Of their local spiritual practices. Some of them, it was a mix of divination. So they gave a picture of God that was not accurate. If you learn God only from the lens of the prophets and the priests and the Old Testament, you will find a lot of conflicting things about God. For instance, you will read statements like a lying spirit came from the Lord. That is not consistent with God's character, but it represents the limitation of those who captured God and revealed to their world. Now we commend them for how far they went, but Jesus came as a reference. He came as a marking script. Are we together now? That everything the prophets told us God was, we have to compare it with the person Jesus. And if it is inconsistent with the character of Jesus as revealed in his earth work, we have a right to probe what the prophet said, regardless which one. Are we together now? So when you see Jesus, you are able to correct the mistakes that came from the perception of prophets, that they themselves were students and they were learning. They were limited in many regards. They didn't have the abundance of the indwelling presence of the Spirit like we do. Are we together now? So they were limited. Number two, the second reason why Jesus came, of course, was to bring reconciliation, to reconnect us back to God through his substitutionary sacrifice. And then the third reason why Jesus came was to become that pattern man, to show us the pattern. Are we together? Paul calls it the hope of our calling. The hope of our calling, that through that pattern man we will rise experientially to a point where he calls sonship. It is called the hope of our calling. That when God saved us, he had a desire and a burden in his heart that will not just be believers who are saved, but that will graduate and transit till we step into the reality of sonship in experience. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So here you are, this gentleman, you've never seen him, you've heard about him. The person who dropped your money with him told you, he described him in a certain way. As soon as you enter that place, assuming all the gentlemen do not have beards, you can see immediately that this has to be the one. Your confidence sometimes becomes insulting to others. I mean, how do you walk to this guy? What sort of embarrassment is that? But you say, the one who sent me gave me a sign. Are we together now? Gave me a sign. May God bless you. Do you understand what I said so far? Alright, so we learn God through the study of his nature and his character. Let me give you two scriptures, then I'll just show you four of those, and then we'll begin to pray. Number one, Exodus chapter 33, please. Let's read from verse 18 to 19. Shama kabarato siyata. And he said, I beseech thee, show me your glory. Moses now. Moses is communicating with the God of heaven. And he said, I will make my. Now Moses is asking for his glory. Are we together now? And God is saying, I will make my goodness. This is an aspect of his glory. We are not discussing glory, but the glory of God is a holistic capture of every dimension that makes him God. So if you are to study the glory of God, you have to study what makes him mighty, what makes him the all-wise God, what makes him the all-powerful. You will have to fragment God to all those dimensions and learn them one by one. That's what we call glory. Are we together now? Now God is saying, I will let my goodness. So the goodness of God is an aspect of his glory. Are we together? Remember, a gentleman came to Jesus and said, good master. And Jesus said, huh? That's an expensive word you are using. Good master? Why do you call me good? There is no man. It's not a cheap word. The word good that we use carelessly. Jesus corrected the man and said, you are using a word that only God has. No man sustains that ability to be good. So when you find an ordinary man manifesting the character of goodness, it tells you immediately that the Holy Spirit is living out, are we together? That God dimension in an ordinary man, because it is not given to an individual unassisted by the Spirit of God to produce the quality of goodness. The inconsistency of men does not allow them to be consistently good. It has nothing to do with being good or bad. Are we together now? So we see that the goodness of God, for instance, is a quality that came out from him. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 40, very powerful scripture. So we see that God is good. The only person who can manifest goodness is God. Men cannot manifest goodness until they are assisted by God. So the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 40, let's look at verse 28. I'm showing you the various characters of God so that you can pick them together and use the power of your imagination to draw a picture of a personality distinct in his own class. The Bible says, have you not heard, hast thou not known, the everlasting God. What's he called? Take note of that. Everlasting. He does not fade. He does not need resuscitation. He does not deplete like men. There's nothing like you are younger now, you are older before. That's a quality that is only common to men. You can't look at God and he looks older than he was or younger than... No. He's consistent. So the Bible says he's everlasting. Then the Bible calls him the creator of the ends of the earth. He says that he does not faint. Look up now. He's describing something about this God. That this God does not have within himself the ability to faint. The word faint means to deplete until you cease from efficiency. That is not consistent with God. Meaning he never gets tired of helping you. You see, there's a way you can help a man. He comes and says, pay my school fees. And at a point you say, have I not tried? You see, you are fainting. It's not because you are bad. It's because you are human. He's saying God does not have that weakness. It's not within him. This is what gives you confidence to approach the throne of grace in prayer. That you've been making petitions for 10 years. If you ever hear a spirit that communicates weariness, that was not God. That's a familiar spirit. Because by the description of God, as you learn from scripture, God does not faint. Is someone learning now? God does not faint. That is why millions of believers can cry unto him at the same time and is hearing them at the same time. It's a quality only God has. He is not weary, and the Bible says there is no searching of his understanding. Verse 29 says, even the young men, he gives power to the faint and to them who have no might increased strength. Verse 30 now, he says, even the youth shall faint, and the weary men, the old men shall be weary, they shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon that one who does not faint, are we together? They will renew their strength. Meaning that as a man you should faint, it is usual. As a man you should be weary, it's usual. But you can outsource help from God in a way that after 10, 20 years you are still standing. And when people look at you and say, by what mechanism are you standing? You would tell them that you tapped into a supply that is not affordable in the world of men. An ability of the everlasting God is being lived through you. Are you learning now? This is very important. Now, there are many, many qualities of God. I do not have time to narrate them. The most concise description of God's nature, as far as my study is concerned, is found in Psalm 103. Please read the entire Psalm 103 from verse 1 to 22. I have studied my Bible a bit by the mercies of God. I have not found any single scripture that has the richest capture, are we together, of the nature and the character of God in all its ramifications. So it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Then he now lists five of those benefits. And when he's done listing all those benefits, then he now begins to describe him. There are many descriptions. So I want you to see the psalmist like a painter. He's trying to create an image. Are we together? And he's using the character and the nature of God to create a picture to your mind. He begins to call him gracious and compassionate, that he's slow to anger and rich in love. He's giving you the pieces of the colors to be able to paint the picture, so that when you say, Lord, I worship you, you are not speaking to an abstract. Your mind, are we together? You are worshiping not just the one who is holy, you are worshiping the one who is patient, who is kind, who is rich in love, whose mercies are renewed every morning. It sponsors your confidence in the place of prayer.
The knowledge of the nature of God helps you to judge prophecy, because you pass every prophetic word as per the nature of God. So if someone comes right now and tells me, Apostle, God is angry with you, you will die tomorrow, for instance, just as an example. No matter how sincere the person is, my orientation forbids me being threatened. There is something about God I know. This was the confidence of King Hezekiah. When Isaiah the prophet came and said, put your house in order, I have come with a word from God. Are we together now? You will not survive. He respected the prophet and said, you go. He turned his face and said, God, I know you. There is something about your nature I want to provoke that can translate to longevity. And God could not deny his nature. Are we together now? Listen, your confidence in prayer will not just come from the ritual and the religiosity of it. You must know something about God that gives you strength. Are we together now? Yes. I know this project cannot die. The question is why? Oh, I read it in the Bible. Yeah, that's wonderful, but is that all? No, there has to be something about God. If someone tells you now that Pastor Akin is chatting you online and saying you should give him money, you see, because you know that this is your pastor and he's in a meeting now, you don't need to pray and fast. You know that guy is a scammer. The knowledge of your pastor has given you immunity against deception. Are we together now? So, most of the challenges with the average believer can be traced to our not knowing the nature of God. The needless pain and the fears that we carry. Are we together now? The many things that happen to believers, it is because they do not know God. The inability to represent Him with confidence comes from our not knowing Him. For instance, when God gives you certain instructions that are beyond your strength and your capacity, if you know yourself alone and you don't know God, you are in trouble. Because it is consistent with God's nature to talk to men like He's talking to Himself. So in talking to you, He does not consider the limitations. He can say, go and build a 5,000 auditorium, because He's talking to Himself. It's not every part of you He's talking to. He's talking to the part of you that has yielded to Him. That is the part that can hear Him. That is the part that can replicate what He's hearing. Are we learning now? When you see men do extraordinary supernatural things, ladies and gentlemen, every man is frail, unassisted by God. There is nothing extraordinary to men except that when a man finds God, if you touch the goodness of God, just the goodness of God can give you an energy that makes you invincible all through your walk on earth. Just the goodness of God. How about touching the mercy of God? You know the kind of ministry that can come from knowing God as a merciful God. Are we together? Yeah. How about God as the Almighty? Every time we pray and every time we worship, it's like a buffet in the spirit. Except that the meal is a representation of the various dimensions of God. Pending on your press and your passion, you will touch something. You will touch the goodness of God. You will touch the power of God. You will touch the wisdom of God. There are few people who have touched and have known Him as the all-wise God. They left that encounter and kept their walls still, because it is through wisdom. They build ministries. They build organizations that dumbfound the wisdom of men. Others, in their sincere quest, they touched His power. And they left with a deposit of God within their spirits. They would look at a dead body and say, stand. They would look at someone dying and say, not when I'm here. Elijah could have that audacity. Elijah now, he says, no, tell Naaman he should not be afraid. Tell the king this is not just some trap for war. Let him come and he will know there is a prophet in Israel. Men don't speak like that, except you know something about God. The Bible says the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He is the all-wise God. It is in His light we see light. You see that now? The nature of God. But now, of all the qualities that represent the character of God, please listen. Please listen. If you didn't understand anything I said, in the name of Jesus, you will understand this one. Because you need it. You need it. The confidence of the believer
is affected by every dimension of God. But there are four principal qualities that represent the nature of God. If you do not have a revelation of these dimensions, you will be weak, you will be powerless, and exploits will be far from you. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Let me show you. Please pray. Because for someone, this is a new day for your ministry, a new day for your life, a new day for your destiny. Things will so shift, and your confidence will not just come from some superstition or rituals. It will come from a level of enlightenment that you have found something about the nature of God. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. In my study of the word and by the help of the Spirit, the Lord led me to four outstanding qualities of God. It doesn't matter what you are called to do, if you will be a man of power and of stature in the spirit, you must encounter these four dimensions of the nature of God. If you do not have this revelation of God imprinted within your spirit, it will sponsor powerlessness, weakness. You will never be able to do anything. Are we together? Number one, don't forget all that I've taught you, that the greatest way to learn God is to learn Him by studying His nature and His character. And of the various, there is a plethora of qualities that the Bible reveals about God. But that four of them, as I'm showing you now, represent the pillars. Number one, God is Spirit. John 4:24. This revelation of God, if you do not understand it, your spiritual life will be weak. Everybody say it after me. Say, God is Spirit. He didn't say God has a spirit. God is Spirit. And that anybody who comes to worship Him, anybody who comes to do business with Him, must have this orientation that I am dealing with a God who is Spirit. The knowledge of God as Spirit immediately tells you that you cannot relate with God from the realm of flesh and blood. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, is? Jesus is speaking. They said, you are Elijah, you are this. And He said, now you've walked with me, what is your verdict? Peter said, I know who thou art. He says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this. That means you ascended to a realm beyond flesh and blood to have found this. Flesh and blood has not revealed this. God is Spirit. Meaning, if you will receive anything from God, you have to master the laws of the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I saw. I was in the Spirit, not I was in the desert. For as long as you remain in the Isle of Patmos, you will not see. But when He was in the Spirit, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. God is Spirit. We can spend all night discussing this. Many believers do not understand that walking with God does not depend, or it does not work by the rule of the flesh. The realm of the flesh cannot interpret God. You cannot satisfactorily do business with God once you are in the realm of the flesh. You must learn how to be in the Spirit. You must learn how to walk in the Spirit. You must learn how to live in the Spirit. You must learn the laws of spirit interactions. You must program yourself to know that the business of pressing into God is a spirit-to-spirit affair. Meaning, do not be frustrated when your mind does not understand. Are we together now? It doesn't make sense when you spend hours worshiping God in a way that from a human standpoint does not seem to carry any semblance of profit. But the staying power is sponsored by the revelation that God is spirit. How do you dance on a prayer request that does not make sense? Do you dance or do you cry for help? But because it's a spirit business, those who are not born again will not understand. But we who are in the kingdom, we know that it's a spirit affair. God is spirit. How do you look at someone with a cancer and believe that just by laying hands it would dematerialize? What is the basis of that confidence? Give us the scientific explanation. God is spirit. The moment you know that God is spirit, then you ascend to a realm where your mind can host every possibility in God. Because in the realm of the spirit, nothing is also a raw material. Now you can believe God for great things because God is spirit. If God is spirit, then every way that comes from God is unusual. How helpers will come to your ministry, unusual. It will not follow the normal routine of things. God is spirit. Let me stop here. Number two. Listen, if you understand what I'm teaching you, your life will be a sign and a wonder. A sign and a wonder. A sign and a wonder. Because the wind bloweth where it listeth. You cannot tell where it is coming nor where it's going. So is one who is led of God. Once you understand that God is spirit, listen, when it had to do with the business of resurrection, I was in the spirit. He carried me, Ezekiel said. I couldn't achieve that in the flesh. But he carried me in the spirit and I was in a valley. I saw bones. Bones that were very dry. He said, son of man, can these bones live? In the flesh? No. But in the spirit? Yes. Can your business live again? In the flesh? No, sir. The sentiments of men will insist that that business remains. But in the spirit? Can a young man who came from a family that they vowed that no one will rise, in the flesh, no, but in the spirit, you have entered the control room of destiny where you and God can do the business of rewriting ancient scripts. You can literally work in partnership with God. Oh no, don't laugh at a man who has mastered the spirit realm. He can manipulate and change things and shift things. That even if you say nothing good can come out of Nazareth, once you understand the laws of the spirit. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I saw. There are things you will only see when you are in the spirit. There are things you will only handle when you are in the spirit. Genuine faith is not born out of the ritual of empty confession. The confession only happens when you forerun that confession with a genuine encounter, living in the spirit. Number two. Is someone learning tonight? The second revelation of God is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2. Ilantosh kela kruskima hasia. God is holy. God is holy. God is holy. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock that is like our God. Is someone learning? Revelation chapter 4, where we read earlier, when we get to verse 8, remember the chant and the cry? They said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy. It's a description. It's the Hebrew word kadosh. The word kadosh is a very complex word.
The word holy is, there are many words that can be derived from it. Consecrated, set apart. I tell you, I sense such, I'm just seeing like light. Light. This is what I'm seeing. Light. You are being immersed into an experience that will leave you a changed person. Believe me. You will walk out of this place seeing possibilities happen in your life. You will know that you have met the God of the Bible. When we talk about the holiness of God, the holiness of God, it is beyond being sinless. Sinlessness is only one scope of understanding the holiness of God. Are we together? When we say God is holy, we are not just saying God does not sin or cannot sin. No. Holiness of anything at all, the root essence of that word kadosh means set apart in a class by yourself as a result of not finding any to compare with you. So when we say you are holy, is the root expression is what happens when you are presenting an award, a first position. That first position with respect to those awards is holy. You get the point? He is kept in a class that is incontestable. An opportunity was given to contest with the person, and he won by conquest. So when the Bible says God is holy, it doesn't just mean he is blameless. He is saying you are given the liberty to explore the realm of the spirit. You will not find any like him. The character of holiness goes beyond just being consecrated. There is a reason why he's set apart. He's saying God being branded in a class all by himself is not injustice. That God himself searched to find if there was any greater than him. He searched too, in case, to swear by. And he did not find anyone. So when you say God is holy, you are not just saying you are sinless. You are saying, Lord, I have used my creativity and my life to explore every other option. I have come to the conclusion that no man comes to your class. Him who sits upon the throne, there is a reason why he sits there. Are we together? He is not sitting there as an insecure person, hoping nobody will arise. There were many kings that walked upon the earth, but they could not demonstrate holiness. They were threatened when they heard that there was another king, and they knew that their throne, even Herod, you can imagine, Herod was threatened when Jesus was born, but there is one who sits and is not threatened by anything. Not the arrogance of kings upon the earth. Not the assaults of Satan. If you understand the holiness of God, it will not just purify your heart, it will give you confidence as you approach him, because you are not afraid of Satan hearing what you are telling God. He is holy. He is not threatened by the action of any king. So if a man says, I will remove you from that office tomorrow, be careful. I am joined to one who is in a class all by himself, that when he says a thing, when you say kadosh, the word one does not mean singular. The word one means only. Only. I can call you chairman, but if we have a gathering like this and I say chairman, it's not a good description, because you can be a chairman of an oil and gas company, but there is a name when you call God, only one person answers. No man has the power to answer. By what qualification will he answer? That is the revelation of God being holy. Are we together now? Blessed is he who comes in the name of our... Now you know what you are singing. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our... Holy. When the Holy One looks at you and says you are free, there is no judge who can call you back. You are free. When he says your family is free, the holiness of God goes beyond him being sinless. It is that he's been branded. There is no one who is as powerful as him. Are we together now? That word kadosh is a reaction. The worship is not something they wanted to do. They were compelled. How? What else will you do? Listen, When God wants you to worship him, he does not tell you to worship him. He reveals a dimension of his holiness. When that image is cast upon you, a reaction is you will take off your golden crown and you will join to worship. Hear me? A worshiper, therefore, is not a singer. A worshiper is one who has assumed a posture in the spirit that allows for a consistent interaction with the holiness of God. The reward is that it becomes a lifestyle. Just when you are exhausting a dimension of his holiness, you will see another one. Set apart in a class all by himself. If I say, chairman, stand up, more than 10 people will stand up here, because you are allowed to be a chairman in your territory. But there is a name that when we call, only one person can stand. If I say Joshua, there are many Joshuas here. If I say champion, there are many champions. Are we together now? If I say wealthy, there are many wealthy. If I say intelligent, but there is a name when we call, in heaven, in the earth, under the earth, the whole earth becomes silent and you will hear the voice of only one. The knowledge of the holy. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. That what you call understanding in the spirit is frail until you find out the holiness of God. Someone say, God is holy. Let me tell you the truth. When you have a revelation of the holiness of God, you will not try to endure sin and lie about it that you are okay. What is happening in the body of Christ is not victory over sin. What is happening in the body of Christ is an endurance for the purpose of reputation. There are many people who are not free. It's only that the embarrassment that follows sin, so they lie about it. Oh, you look at a beautiful lady and all kinds of things are rushing in your mind and you are saying, no, she's not beautiful. But your mind is saying, but this is a beautiful. You have not gotten victory over it. So what is happening is suppression, not victory. When you understand the holiness of God, you can rise above certain things that for humans, a string has been caught within you. Are we together now? You are not trying. The revelation has brought you to that point. For instance, if you meet a dying man and give him a check and say, sign a check of 1 million, what happens to that man? He's aware he's dying. His mind is stayed on survival. That money is useless to him. Not because money is useless, but because of something happening to him. So the Bible says to reckon yourself dead. Are we together now? The reason why many people continue to get disappointed, listen carefully, is because we are practicing suppression, not victory. And that suppression is for the sake of reputation. So you didn't collect the bribe, but you couldn't sleep. You are still a victim. It's just that it didn't enter your hand. Your mind collected it. It's only your hand that didn't collect it. Are you getting the point now? When you say God is holy, you can stand as a strange human being because something has happened within you. You can look at this 1 billion and say, thank you, I will not collect it. And you will not go back and say, God, why now? Why was there camera there? You are still a slave. Are you learning what I'm saying now? Say, God is holy. My goodness, let me give you number 3. I promise to do a charge. So number 1 is what? Don't forget this. God is spirit. Number 2, God is holy, consecrated, set apart, branded by his uniqueness in a class all by himself. If you find anybody having any godlike quality, he did not get it by fighting God. God gave him. Are we together now? Now, look at me. Don't tempt me to still stay. I'm working with time. There's Toyota. There's Mercedes-Benz. They are all cars. Are we together now? So, Toyota has its mechanics, the way they build their cars. Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and all of that. Are we together? And somehow, they can share parts or ideas or information. Are we together now? For instance, most planes use a Rolls-Royce engine. Am I right on that? So even though it's a plane, but the Rolls-Royce company, those who make the engine, they also contract.
So I'm saying, if you find kindness, if you find love, if you find joy, if you find peace in any other entity on earth, there is a central source from which it came from. Only one person has that combination. He is the Holy One. If you find it in Joshua Selman, you can trace that he only got it because of his alignment with that man. This is what I'm explaining for you. Are we together now? Yes. The same way, if you find wickedness, this guy is wicked and evil, can kill somebody, like some of these are people who stand by the roadside. You see that now? That level of evil is unusual for normal men. We were not built, even in our fallen state. A spirit must enter a man to assist him to be wicked that far. So when you see wickedness beyond a certain threshold, it tells you that wickedness is supernatural. Are we together? Yes. That evil-heartedness is supernatural. That's how it is too, spiritually. So number three, God is light. The third revelation of God, John, 1 John chapter 1 from verse 5. Simalanto sacramentica palano siata. 1 John chapter 1, please. Everyone, please read this as loud as you can. Ready, one, two, go. Someone shall say, God is light. God is light. This revelation can transform you. It can bring you to such level of authority and understanding. God is light. The Bible says, in you is the fountain. You are the fountain of light. It is in your light that we see light. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a dimension of God's nature that hosts revelation. God is light. Science has not been able to satisfactorily define light. Only the Bible. The Bible is the only book I know that has defined light. It says that which is manifest is light. God is light. In his presence, nothing is hidden. Are we together? The Bible says that was the true light. Please listen carefully. That lighted every man. Every man, not some men. When it has to do with the light that comes from his presence, is the heritage of everyone, not some. God is light. In him, he says there is no darkness at all. No darkness. God is light. When that light comes to your finances, when that light comes to your destiny, when that light comes to your ministry, when that light comes to your mind, Job said, in the days of my youth, that his candle shined upon my head. Are we together now? There were two kinds of lights, the one that was on his head and the one that was on his feet. One was for illumination, the other was for direction. It turned Job into a sign. As I'm speaking to you, I'm sensing that there's an impartation of that light. Maybe not everybody, but God wants to open you up to a realm of light. The miracle of open eyes, that your eyes will see. I'm not just talking of visions. Your eyes will see beyond the lines, the letters of scripture. Listen. This is the revelation that I carry when I study scripture. God is light. Nothing profitable for my destiny must be hidden when I open the word, because God is light. If there is a mystery that is responsible for my victory, the light of God will fish it out. Listen, the Bible gives a parable about a woman, pastor. It says this woman had 10 talents. Are we together? Silver. And she lost one. How and why she lost it is not our business. But the Bible says because she lost one, even though she had nine, she was pressing for completion. And the first strategy she used was to light a candle. Because the reason why one fell was that the room was dark. And she got a candle and lit that candle. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. For someone, you came for this meeting, there are answers locked up in your spirit, but there is no light. There are answers for the next level. As a student, as a minister, you are crying, you are in want of direction, but there is no light. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, and he can light that candle. He can light that candle. He can light that ministry. He can light that business. Listen. According to the law of visibility, everything can remain under a bushel if it has no light. Your ministry should remain under a bushel. Your business should remain under a bushel. The only justification for it to be placed on a candlestick is when light comes. So if you desire visibility, don't look for who will announce you. Look for light. Malakapa, help that lady. Ratena kamenanta paratus kiata. Light. Light. Yes, sir. Light. You approach the place of prayer. You approach the place of worship, knowing that God is light. I'm carrying my darkness. I'm carrying issues that do not have answers. When I go to pray, I'm not praying to a mysterious God. I'm praying to the one who nothing is hidden before him. Everything needed for ministry. Listen, let me tell you something. There is a mystery with God. Because his light does not only shine into darkness, he can command light to shine out of darkness. Do you know what that means? You can carry your pain like the alabaster box and say, Lord, here is my pain, and he will bring light out of it. That God has such authority. He does not just bring light into darkness, he can command light to come out of darkness. Ask Saul. Out of darkness, as Rahab, God can command light. So he says, rejoice not over me, my enemies. No, my life may be full of all kinds of darkness, but out of that family situation, a ministry can come out. Light out of darkness. Out of my pain, I lost my father. I lost my mother. I live like an orphan, you may say, not knowing where help will come out of. But out of that situation, you will learn like the psalmist that I lay me down and I slept. I only awake because the Lord, there is a God that sustains me. Man of God, there can be a new season for you when you know God is light. You don't get into the place of prayer and come out empty. God is light. His light exposes gray areas, showing you what to do, showing you the next step. It may not make sense, but it is by his light he makes men mighty. It is his light that gives men visibility. Hallelujah. Hear me. Ministers of the gospel, with all due respect, let me show you a secret. You see, the Bible says that which makes manifest is light. Every time I come to speak to people, beyond the frailty of my words, beyond the frailty of my ability to conjure words and paint pictures on the minds of people, I am mindful of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, that there is a grace when you encounter God as light. I want to see that scripture. Are we together now? Ephesians chapter 3. Are we going to have it projected? Ephesians 3 and verse 9. Everybody read the first how many words now? The first six words. Try to count six in your mind. One, two, go. One more time. This is the assignment of the teaching priest. When you know that God is light, an ability comes upon you while you teach, no matter how frail the limitations of your communication is. When you open up your mouth, you know that you are exposing darkness to make all men, whether they are educated or not, whether they are enlightened, education only becomes an advantage, not the reason why they see. There is a grace that is cast upon them as you speak to make all men see. To make all men see. To make weak men see that they are strong. To make a man of God who is failing see that greater is he that is in him. Are we together now? This is the secret of transformation. That by the grace of God and by an encounter with God who is light, you can make all men see. Make all men see. Pray for yourself in 1 minute. The grace to see. The grace to see. Shamanta tabalakata praskatena kapel. Shakata kaparakata praskata. The grace to see. The grace to see. The grace to see. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace that our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb would rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace that our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always. Listen, if God has called you into the realm of the prophetic, please press into this revelation. The gift that you will get is the eyes that see. The eyes that see. He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. Let me share with you a testimony. Listen. In 2011, Pastor, 2011 or so, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I was in a retreat. And he said, I want to reveal to you the strategy that will announce you to the nations. He said, a time will come in the future. People will not buy tapes. There will be nothing like tapes and the rest, because times will change. Here is what I want you to do. He said, carry your teachings. Put them. Then social media was just at its infancy. He said, put those teachings online. My angel will take them to the nations. That was when I knew that there are angels that herald graces. Revelation 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus, which he showed unto his servant John. Give it to us. The Bible says he sent it and signified it by his angel. There are angels, ladies and gentlemen. You see, there are angels assigned to every believer. There are angels assigned to offices. There are angels assigned to mantles. They don't follow individuals. No. Whoever is a carrier of that grace has the privilege of that angelic order. Are we together? There are certain angelic manifestations that don't follow you just because you are a believer. It is the day you find yourself in God's prophetic assignment. Who is learning? I'm showing you the revelation of God as light. And that simple instruction, I don't know what would have happened to me if I disobeyed. Listen, the season that the church of God is stepping into will require men with eyes. There is what God will tell you that no one else will see but you. And if you fail to see it, you can abort 10 years
because your eyes did not see. The miracle of open eyes. Blind Bartimaeus. We must pray the prayer of blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus did not say that my eyes will open. He said that I may receive. This is about receiving. This is that I will receive. He had eyes. The presence of an eye does not mean you will see. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15 down to 19. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we together? Yes. And he said that he would open up their eyes. He said that the eyes of your understanding. So there is an eye there. The problem is light. Light is missing, but the eye is there. That the eyes of your understanding. Inseparable. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. When we get to verse 19, it says, and to know the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe. God is light. Listen, after this conference, I challenge you, even if it's a day, take a day and cry for light. Lord, let 2025 not be like 2024. Light. Be like the woman who lost her one treasure. Don't say, I have nine left. He calls us to completion. He wants you to be wholesome. Don't say, my finance is working at the expense of my health, or my spiritual life is working. No, no, no. He came that you would have life, and that that life will be more abundant. And anything that is short of abundant life must become your project. Don't allow your excelling in one dimension allow you make the devil or lead him to tear you down in another dimension. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. So you cry for revelation, the spirit of revelation. Cry for revelation. It was Daniel who cried for revelation with all his heart, and Gabriel came and said, I am come, I was sent. Zechariah came with a message. Gabriel came to Zechariah with a message about the prophetic destiny of John. It was a name that had not been given to anyone. Zechariah's life remained crippled. He was dumb until he agreed with what God was saying. Let me give you number four. We have to pray. You won't be the same, oh. There is a fire that is being ignited in your spirit. I tell you sincerely, that fire will burn. It will drive you to search for true light. There are false lights, but there is true light. And true light lightens. Number four. So one, God is spirit. Number two, God is holy. Number three, God is light. Number four, and this is where we'll stop for tonight, God is love. Please be seated. Romans, 1 John chapter 4. Let's begin our reading from verse 7. Don't assume you understand what I just said. God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Love is of God. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. And talk to me. And what? Two levels. One, the presence of love in your life confirms that one, you are born of God. But it can also confirm the fact that you know God. Next verse 8. He that loveth not, what's the diagnosis? Knoweth not God. The reason is because God is love. God is love. What is love? According to scripture, Paul was teaching us, and he taught on four dimensions of love. He talked about the length, the breadth. Is that true? The width, the height of the love of God. That a believer is well grounded in love only when you understand the mystery of the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of God. If any one of these dimensions is missing in your life, something will be wrong with your love life. I have translated these four dimensions in a way that will help all of us understand. We're about to pray. The first dimension of true love, and you can apply this between you and God and you and men. The first dimension of true love is called passion. Please write it down. Passion. The first index for measuring true, genuine, authentic love is passion. It is impossible for genuine love to be at work in a place, in a person, and then passion is found wanting. No. The first index to measure genuine love is zeal or passion. It was said of Jesus, the zeal of the Lord's house had consumed him. You can use what I'm teaching right now to test your spiritual state. Without feeling condemned, you can know whether something is wrong with you. Are we together? Because when your hunger is missing, your passion is missing, hunger is proof of health. One of the ways doctors confirm that a patient is sick is the loss of appetite. The moment your appetite is missing, it is a confirmation that something is wrong with your health indeed. Someone who could eat one plate or two wraps or three wraps of amala suddenly will not even be able to take one spoon. You say, this man, you need to go to the hospital. That's how it is spiritually. The moment your hunger is affected, your appetite is affected, your passion dies, something is wrong with your love. Two. Are you ready for the next? The second biblical index to measure love is called commitment. Commitment. You can use this in any kind of relationship. Commitment. What is commitment? It defines the staying power, the ability to remain, whether it is convenient or not. Commitment is a covenant issue. It's beyond emotions. Emotions are the weakest indices for directing a man's life. Did you hear what I said? The weakest index for directing your life is to be directed by emotions, because emotions vacillate. If you want to serve God emotionally, you'll be a weak Christian. There are times that you will be evidently weak, but because you are committed to your growth, committed to his purposes, you will stand up to pray, you will stand up to study. As a man of God, it is clear that you've been perplexed, all kinds of issues around, having your own issue too, but because you are bound by your love, Paul simply puts it this way, the love of God constrains. Commitment. There are people who do not have commitment to anything. They cannot be trusted. Ask those who are leaders and entrepreneurs here. One of the index you use to promote people is not just intelligence, because a gifted rebel is not an asset. You are looking for commitment. Commitment. He said, ye who have continued with me. Are we together now? Yeah. When you love God, you stay. Oh, you stay. You stay. There are times it will not be convenient. You stay. There are times you will need to bear the reproach of his name upon your life, and it becomes more comfortable to drop that name and find rest. But because you are not just passionate, you are committed. Have you seen somebody, a woman crying, maybe a single mom with all due respect, crying over a baby, spanking the baby for doing wrong, but still committed. I will kill you, this child. And you know she's just talking. Her commitment is too... She will push the child and 5 minutes later she gets up. Commitment. Let me show you how God demonstrated his own. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love and with my loving kindness. The mighty God we just described is not ashamed to show how vulnerable he is. His pride is not a problem for him at all. He can chase men without shame. Did you hear what I said? That he will leave men to their enemies by reason of their stubbornness. And the men will be in pain. What kind of a God is this? And they will repent. Oh. But his heart seated on the throne, that same one who sits upon the throne, eventually he will send a prophet. For Yahweh said the Lord, return to me now and I will return to you. And it's like he's waiting. Do you know while the prodigal son ran away, the father could not sleep? The prodigal son did not meet the father at home because the father already left home looking for him. He met him somewhere at the point of his repentance. He was not at home. The man said, I will swallow my pride. Unfortunately, the Bible does not give us his own thinking. It only tells us what happened to the prodigal son. I wish the Bible told us what the father was thinking when he left home. He left home and began to take that step. I don't know where my son is, but provided my son is still calling me father, I will still call him son. Many people do not know the power of God's love. It is the cure to inferiority, the cure to complex. This pressure, this social media, what do we call it, that tries to chain people and turn them into slaves. The cure is to know that the greatest one on earth has already demonstrated desperation over your soul. He's not ashamed to show that he needs you. Why does he need me? Something that makes me wonder. Sometimes I say, God, can't you do without me? Am I such a big deal? And sometimes you get flattered by the answer you get from him. That's how much he's invested in jealousy upon you. Everybody say commitment. So, 4 indices. Did I waste your time tonight? Number 1 is called passion. Don't forget this. Number 2 is called... I'm not a marriage counselor, but you can use this and solve your marriage problem immediately. Any attack on your love life will be an attack on passion or an attack on commitment. Are you ready for number 3? Number 3 is called pleasure. If there is no pleasure in your own love, something is wrong with it. Because in the dealings of God with man, man is not only called sheep. Somewhere in the equation, man becomes bride. Did you hear what I said? Somewhere in the love dealing of God with man, he starts as sheep. But later on, I don't know what happens in that story, that sheep suddenly becomes bride. Come and I will show you the Lamb's wife. And he showed me a city, not a person, a city equal in length and breadth. And he said, this is the Lamb's wife. This marriage, you see, by is a mystery. He says, I show you the mystery of Christ and his church. When 2 people are getting married, happy, wearing suit, wearing her dress, they ask them several questions. Will you take this person? Sometimes they don't listen. They just say, yes. Do you take this one? You too? Yes. I now pronounce you man and wife or husband and wife. Amen. And the wedding is over. But you see, many things happen. If that woman were a cleaner in a company, you know her as a cleaner. You even called her cleaner. Because the man decided to love her, the moment she says, I do, and both of them become joined, her name changes immediately. She may not even believe it. It may be too good to be true that 24 hours before, this was what was adumbrated in the book of Esther, that a village girl can, by the choice of a king, this was the one mistake of Vashti. She forgot the only reason why she was queen was because she married a king. Not that she fought war. When you understand that God is love, you will know that your victory is derived. Your victory is derived from the fact that the jealousy of this king has been invested in you. Ladies, talk to me. Every good, godly lady who has been taught well knows that her confidence aside from God is derived from the awareness of the love of her husband towards her. Am I right on that? Sometimes they make certain statements and there's nothing you can do. Her husband is her husband, unfortunately for you. Are we together now? When you understand the kind of investment that Jesus made on your life, are we together now? God used Jesus as the bride price. You know how you pay dowry. You've been complaining that your list is much. You asked, God literally took a lamb, his only son. That was what brought you pleasure. That if God did not spare his own child, but offered him up for you, hear me, how much more? You see, we love God not because of what we get, but somewhere in your Christian experience, we need to see the benefits of being married. Are we together now? There are many benefits. One of it is the opportunity to carry the name of your husband. If you were Esther so-so-so and you marry this man, your name changes immediately. It doesn't matter how you feel. If you get to his house and sit outside because you are used to sitting outside, he will train you into becoming his wife in experience, but it does not change the fact. There is a wedding certificate that shows you that you are the wife. If you carry this mentality, I am the bride of Christ, the jealousy of the Almighty is invested over my life. The Bible said jealousy is the rage of a man. You want to know a man can be angry? Touch a responsible man's wife. Take note of my definitions. A responsible man's wife. So when the devil comes to threaten you, the reason why sometimes you act like an orphan in the spirit is an indictment on the responsibility of your husband. Are we together? That I am hidden with Christ and Christ in God. And when Satan comes to threaten you, you know that I am in Christ. And there are pleasures forevermore. Are we together now? It is important, I believe, in living a victorious life while you serve the purposes of God. Except for martyrdom, there is no reason for me to succumb to anything negative. If you are being martyred, it is the reproach of Christ upon you. But aside from that, Satan, stay clear of my life. I will fight the fight of faith till my life becomes a worthy portrait of the victorious Christian. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, bless the Lord, and forget. There are benefits, sir. That is not the reason we seek him, but there are benefits. Five of them. Go and read it. Forgiveness of sin, healing of your body, deliverance from calamity, crowning you with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfying your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Bible says, forget it not. Something will affect you when you forget it. Let me give you the last one. The length, the breadth, passion, commitment, pleasure. Number four, sacrifice. These are the four dimensions of agape, God's love. Sacrifice. Greater love had no man than this. Ladies, if a guy says, I love you, tell him, sit down. Let me tell you what I just learned. The meaning of what I understand you saying is that you are passionate towards me. You are willing to be committed to me forever. Are we together? That you will derive pleasure from my life as well as bring pleasure to my life. And should the need arise, you will be willing to lay down. That one, you see, that number four. Hello? Let me leave you to your pastor. I'm doing my job here, and then I'll leave this place quietly. Now, let me tell you this. We're wrapping up. If God did all three to us without the fourth, he would not be called love. A time came when he looked at Jesus and he looked at me. He looked at you. He had to lay down one. To lay down me or lay down his son. But the son was sinless. We were the ones who were sinful.
And he said, for your sake, Jesus, I will sow you as a seed. When he cried and said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, Father, you have turned your face away from me. He said, it is not hatred, it is love. When he turned his face from Jesus, my question is, who was he looking at? Because love is like energy. If it turns away from somewhere, it is towards somewhere. If it's not somewhere, it's somewhere else. I leave that for you to think. If it is not somewhere, it is somewhere. And while he turned away from Jesus, I can imagine him looking at me through the eons of time, that there is a man of God through a womb and a generation that is dead in sin and witchcraft and all kinds of things. But within that, I see a little child that one day can become a useful vessel, and let me give him a chance to serve my purposes. And for my sake, Jesus cried, but he did not change his mind. He had the power to say, Jesus, you are bleeding too much. But he said, still die for my sake. He died for me. He actually died. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. What's the remaining part of that song? When the Lord of glory heaven sent, gave all on Calvary just for me. Just for me. Jesus came. Listen, this is what makes the gospel good news. This is why we travel to the nations, to tell people, while you were there doing your thing, there is a story you need to hear. That one loved you so much. There are people who will say they love you when the money is there, when the political position is there. I heard about a great politician who, as soon as he left office, more than 90% of his calls and contacts, they went to place loyalty to the next person. Before they would swear him, you know, they left the man alone. Called them and they didn't pick. They came and said, we are loyal. Men for you. But there is one that sticks. When all run away, when friends leave, when ministerial colleagues leave, he stays. He stays. The Bible calls him a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God is love. When I approach God in prayer, it's a love affair. When I approach God in worship, it's a love affair. Are we together now? And because he loves me, and he's invested so much in me, I am motivated to reciprocate out of that love by taking advantage of the supply of his grace and do that which brings joy to the heart. Imagine a man who gives everything for his wife, buying her clothes, taking care of her, adorning her with glory, and the man never eats. She doesn't take care of him. She's around at home, but he goes to the kitchen by himself, does everything by himself. Not that she's busy. And then sometimes she hears the wife talking with another man, and he still says, you are still my wife, I love you. What kind of man is this? This is how far he loved you. If you believe God is love, then you can easily believe he's a healer. He gave Jesus, what is cancer? He gave Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, what is fibroid? This is the correct revelation from which the healing power flows. It's wonderful to have power, but let me tell you, when you become love conscious, you will see manifestations of power that will dumbfound you. Are we together now? When I call you CEO, that's authority and power. But when I call you lover or father, that's a love affair. A young boy will come and push between people waiting for his father. They are waiting for a CEO, but the man is going to meet his father. He will push everything and they say, this boy has come again. But there's nothing he can do. Unfortunately, many believers have not understood this love dimension. Now, let me tell you this. Rise up. We're about to wrap up. I want you to listen. There are two results to knowing God. Two results. I will just list them for you. I have to do justice by giving you those results. When you know God as spirit, as holy, as light, and as love, two things happen to you. Number one, confidence and freedom from fear. The first direct effect of knowing God is that your confidence is at its highest and fear dies. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear hath torment. Confidence. Confidence to go to the nations if he sends you. Confidence to do the things that he's called you to do. No matter who believes you or does not believe you. The jealousy of God, the one who loved you and gave himself for you, backs you. And that becomes your principal motivation. It is love first before power. It is love greatest before power. All those who really walked in power were more conscious of the love of God than they were power. Confidence. Number two. I feel stirred like to speak over someone's life. The fear of the past, the fear of yesterday, the fear of today, the fear of tomorrow, the fear of opinions, this thing that has kept you down so you are not able to move to maximize destiny. In the name of Jesus, fear dies tonight. Shout it like you believe it. Say, fear dies. Shout it. Say, fear dies. Say, fear dies. Say, fear dies. Fear of anything, social media. Fear of the opinions of men. Fear of yesterday. Will it be like yesterday? God is saying you toiled all night, but a word has come. Move like before. And you can mark time for 10 years. Let fear die right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. The second revelation, which is an implication of having an encounter with God, where you know God, you are empowered to become an imitator of God. An imitator of God. A manifestation, an extension. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, New King James or Amplified. It says, be ye imitators of God. The word imitator means follow based on pattern. Follow based on pattern. Not guess as you follow. See the pattern and follow. But in this case, you are empowered. So it's not just by your strength to be imitators of God. Imitators. The love nature, the fruit of the Spirit. If he healed, then I will go about healing. I'm an imitator. If he blessed, then I am a blessing. I can't be a curse coming to your life. No, sir. I am an imitator. Everywhere Jesus went, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Are we together? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about. Went about. Help me again. Went about. So what should I do as an imitator? I go about doing good. Doing good. Changing lives. Doing good. Rewriting stories. Doing good. Every engracing required to do good, he empowers me because he desires me to be an imitator. Like father, like son. Like father, like son. As he is, the Bible says, so are we in this life. An imitator, following based on pattern. It says, looking unto Jesus, calls him the author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him, that he endured the cross, he despised the shame. Pattern. Jesus finished his assignment. So imitating Christ, what do? I press to the finish, not wavering, regardless the situation. Are we together now? Everywhere Jesus entered, he was a blessing. So what are you? Yes, sir. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You are an imitator of Christ. Don't listen to any nonsense that comes from the devil and some ill person with some understanding define you. No. That you came from Nazareth, so what? That you came from a family with curses, so what? Jesus came from Nazareth, and they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus said, don't insult the man. He's right. He's an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile, except that the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me. I am anointed. I don't know what happened to my great-grandfather. I wish them well. Anointed, young lady, anointed. Grace is coming on you. Anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Anointed. Anointed. My horn hast thou exalted like the horn of an unicorn. I am anointed. Anointed. Look at your hands and say anointed. Lay your hands on your head. Say anointed. Yes, sir. Anointed with power. Anointed with power to be an imitator. Anointed to replicate the healing power. Anointed. Take a minute to pray. Anointed. Businessman, anointed. Anointed as an imitator. That as he is in business, in ministry, prophesy, I am anointed. Anointed as a worshiper, anointed. A student, anointed. I am not without oil. No. Hallelujah. We're praying now. Please pay attention. You're about to receive something that will change your life. In the parable of the virgins, all 10 were virgins. So it was not an issue of unrighteousness or unrighteousness. All 10 were virgins. Number 2, it was time that revealed who was wise or who was foolish. At the onset, everyone looked wise. 3, all of them had lamps, and every lamb had a wick in it. What separated the wise from the foolish was not a problem with their virginity, was not a problem with the lamp, but the press for extra oil. Extra oil. We are praying, no. Extra. Let me tell you what happens when oil finishes. The wick will still burn, but the energy that keeps it is not there. So the wick will die. The lamp is eternal. The lamp never spoils. Even if it's not burning, it is there. Because the word of God is incorruptible. But the efficiency of the lamp, even if the lamp is not burning, you are still holding a functional lamp. But it is the oil. The mystery of continuity is not the lamp. The ones that had their oil finished, the lamp was still there. Because the word is incorruptible. Extra oil. I want you to take 1 minute. You have tabernacled in this place tonight under this strong atmosphere of worship. I'd like you to take a minute. Cry for the next 1 minute. Extra oil upon my head. Please pray. It's time for another level, another dimension of grace. Ministry has to be at another level. Tired of the same level. Tired of the same level of worship. The same level of prayer. The same level of ministry. The same level of delivery. Please try. If my lamp is not burning, I need extra oil. If my lamp is not burning, I need oil. Extra oil. And the fire that is upon the altar, it must keep burning day and night. 1 minute. Extra. It's time to enlarge. The people that do know their God. The people that do know their God as spirit, do know their God as holy, do know their God as light, do know their God as love, they shall be strong, they shall do exploits. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Now we're going to do three things very quickly. First, is it all right to request that they pass their prayer request? Okay, please bring out your prayer request. How do you want it done, sir?
Just the ushers begin to collect the prayer requests and bring them from.
Okay.
Fill it up, fill your commitment to it and bring it up, and we will begin to pray on it.
Please in 1 minute. I like
lead
to
us pastors. Can you move help? Thank you.
Please pray in the spirit. Abe, is it okay if I invite you to just come and sing for me for one, anything at all, just 2-3 minutes while everybody is praying in tongues? I want to declare over your life, and please come up just as the Spirit of God moves your heart. I want something to fall upon your life. You will never be the same. Make sure you are praying. Don't be careless. Write your request. Pass it to the last person. And I'd like you to pray. I don't know what dimension in the spirit you desire. You are tired of a level in life, in ministry. I'd like you to pray. Something is about to rest upon your head. Nakaparanta kaprata dagada balaga barata katapras katabalada ba. Shala lama lama nakataparanta katabalada ba. Krakata prata katabaratos kadina malaka parantos kodia. Sibe lama lama dagada balaga barakata. Sate latos koto pranta katarantas kapras katalaga ba. Ibrati kaparato kapras katalama nakaparados. In a kanda kata like a parato kata. Pray. I stretch in the spirit a new season, a new prophetic season, carrying oil, carrying grace, carrying fire. Ela nana bakata praskata balagata patakato. Submit your request as you pray. Very quickly. Submit your request as you pray. Meetings like this are moments of deep spiritual immersions. I stretch my hands. All those who must step into prophetic seasons, seasons of fire, seasons of grace, with a baptism of hunger, I stretch my hands right now. Wherever you are, from the front to the back, the left to the right, I pray for you. Fresh fire. Take that 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 fire. A baptism of fire. Take that fire. Students, take that fire. Take it to your campus. A new dimension. Take that fire. Prayer fire. Prayer fire. In the name of Jesus. making a prophetic call. All those who are called into the ministry of prophetic intercession, I stretch my hands. Let grace fall on you now. Let fire, let it burn from your spirit. Let it burn from your spirit. The fire of an intercessor, let it burn from your spirit. Let it burn from your spirit. Hallelujah. Let me pray for those called into prophetic psalmistry, the realm beyond writing songs, that you ascend in the spirit and you will hear sounds, songs that have become ladders, ladders for revival. I stretch my hands. Worshipper, let the door be open for you. Let the door, ayaka manaka parakata. Let the door be open. Let the door be open. Step into a realm of prophetic worship. Prophetic worship. Hear the sounds of the Spirit. Hear the sounds of the Spirit. Hear the sounds of the Spirit. Worship from the throne. Worship from the throne. Worship from the throne. Hear me. There are two unique ministries that are coming afresh again in the body of Christ. Number one is the restoration of the healing mantles. I have seen this many times in my visions. I know we have pockets of meetings, but I tell you, the average person in our generation has not really seen an authentic healing ministry. The Spirit of God is that wind, that east wind is blowing again. And there are men and women who will carry, they will carry dimensions of the healing grace of Jesus. I stretch my hands. If there are any ones here who are here preordained by prophecy to carry that healing grace, I stretch my hands. Let that mantle rest upon you now. Let that kapateneke parata carry the healing grace. Carry the healing grace. Become a testament of the resurrection power. A testament of the resurrection power. A testament of the resurrection power. Number two, listen, most people do not know that the ministry of supplying resources to the kingdom is as powerful a ministry like evangelism. Let me tell you the truth. You've heard me say the name of Jesus is very heavy. It takes resources to lift it high for the nations to see. There are many people who are incapacitated. The program of God across several quarters is incapacitated because of resources. The availability of resources can protect you from compromise. Are we together? Hunger always takes Israel to Egypt. Genesis 42, 1 and 2. It was because of hunger that Israel went to Egypt until they later became slaves there. Hunger will always take Israel to Egypt. I have heard that there is corn, but the only problem is the location. But because if we don't go there, we will die. Jacob said, go down thither and buy for us so that we will live and not die. Many visions are dead today because the resources to keep them alive is not there. Many of our loved ones within the body of Christ have tilted towards the corridors of compromise because they must pay the bills of their children. Let me tell you the truth, God is not an irresponsible God. Are we together now? There is going to be a restoration of intelligence.
that will bring the church to a place of honor and dignity. The seven things that were delivered to the Lamb in Revelation 4, one of it was riches. Not from a carnal, mundane standpoint. Gone are the days of wealth turning people into carnal and ineffective Christians. We are a people of vision, consecrated by the power of God. Wealth is a tool, not a distraction, because our eyes are fixed upon He who is the captain of our salvation. And on account of that, we are not afraid to gather, because we are only gathering to lift up His name. I'm going to pray for you and to pray for as many here who will be uniquely anointed by God to carry end time resources, resources that will fund the global harvest. I pray for you, businessmen, captains of industry, students, those who are after the order of Joseph, after the order of Daniel, after the order of Esther, in the name of Jesus Christ, I release grace to access resources. 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 Be empowered. Empowered to serve the King. Empowered to walk in integrity. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen. Never reject influence. Never reject influence. It is one of the strategic ways for kingdom advance. Are we together now? Yes. Never reject influence. A nation can bow to the name of Jesus in one day, depending on who tells them to do it. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. On account of his influence, he passed a decree that at the sound of the instruments of worship, all men should bow. When God's people rise to a point of kingdom influence on account of the exploits, you will tame the pride of nations through the excellency of your results, and you will cause them to call upon the name of your God. We have to wrap up. Have you submitted your request? Please lend me your attention, everyone. I want to call someone right now who needs to make it right with Jesus. I know I've stretched you tonight, but this is one meeting you will not forget in a hurry. I assure you, we are made of encounters. We are products of encounters. Time is one of the components for intimacy. I want to make a call. Two groups of people right now. You are saying, Apostle, while listening to you and all the other speakers, while enjoying worship here, the Spirit of God began to convict me that I need to make my ways right with Jesus. I want to move past the curtains of religiosity and pretense and falsehood. This is the business of genuine salvation. Or you are saying, Apostle, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I am tired of one leg in, one leg out. By now and under this prophetic atmosphere, you should know that there should not be any cajoling. And I'm going to make this call. Don't wait for others to come. As I count 1 to 5, the Spirit of God is telling you, come out and Lord, and let your life be changed. Now, protocol, please make sure that they don't waylay the guests in front. But aside that, please, I'd like you to come out. Once the front is filled up, you will stand wherever you are. I count 1 to 5. Run like your destiny depends on it. 1. Let's appreciate them as they come. Move them forward, please, so that there's space. Move them. Can you sing something for us, Abby? Just sing. 2. Come. It's giving you a new beginning. Three. Run to Jesus. I'll give you a new beginning. I surrender. who are in front, lift your right hand. Lift your right hand high above your head. I'd like you to cry before God. As I lead you to this prayer, let it be from the depth of your heart. Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears. It's a new beginning for you. You are encountering the God of the Bible. Truly. Say, Lord Jesus. Shout it, those in front. Say, Lord Jesus. Tonight, I have heard your word. I declare that I love you with all my heart. Tonight, I declare that you are my Savior, you are my Lord, and you are my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. I am a child of God. From tonight and forever, I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Father, I present to you these ones. The Bible declares that as many who come to you, you will in no wise cast away. They have made this decision. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. I'm seeing two spirits. Just from two people here, those in front, I command that spirit leave now. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just saw it like a vision. Let them go now. In the name of Jesus, I declare you are saved, washed by the blood of the Lamb. You go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Where do they go? Someone direct me quickly. All right. Please move all of you who are in front as we clap for them. Move to my left, that will be your right. The counselors will have a word with you, and then you'll be back to your seat. Abe will still do that prayer one more time. Please sing that song. It's a very powerful song. There's grace on it. Just 1 minute, and then we'll pray over the request. Lift your hands, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now everyone pray in the spirit. I decided to call your pastor up. Usually when I pray or request like this, I like Minister Abe will continue just worshiping for 1 minute. Everyone pray in the spirit. Your eyes fixed on Jesus. You are declaring by faith while praying in the spirit that these Egyptians you see, you will see no more forever. And then I'm going to ask your pastor to make prophetic decrees over it. He's the angel over this house. And we're doing it together. Go ahead. 1 minute. You are praying from the depth of your heart.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for this feast tonight. We give you praise and we give you glory. Lord, we declare and decree over all this prayer request. We declare tonight that they are all answered. As they come into the Ark of the Covenant, I declare that every question is turned into answers. Every troubling case, every financial case, every health condition, I declare a turnaround in the name of Jesus. In this self same hour, I declare that the angels of God are released on your behalf. They go before you and they are bringing the ashes that are missing to you in the name of Jesus. Upon everything that you have written, you will see progress. You will hear the voice of God. You will get revelation. Every tears in your eyes, they are turned into testimonies. Every misfortune, they are turned into misfortunes in the name of Jesus. I declare that from now henceforth, your testimony begins. From tonight, you will hear good news. From tonight, you will hear good news. Fear not. You thought this is what you are looking for from God. May the God of heaven give you much more than you have asked for. Elizabeth was praying for a baby. God gave her. Mary was not expecting a baby. God gave her. May you receive what you are expecting and what you are not even expecting. What you don't know is a prayer point. May the God of heaven give it to you. I declare today as a day of restoration. I declare today as a day of compensation. I declare today as a day of freedom. I declare today as a day of liberation. You are going free in the name of Jesus. So shall it be in Jesus' name.
And I agree with your pastor. I declare over this request that these Egyptians you see, in the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, you will see them no more forever. We turn this request to testimonies with speedy answers in the name of Jesus. They are blessed. Return with your testimonies. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank you all for this opportunity. May the Lord bless you. Pastor Joaquin, thank you. Really appreciate you. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you. In Jesus' name.